Yes, sir.
You Lee White.
Lee White, Mr. President. Thank you. Ready, sir.
Lee?
Yes, Mr. President.
How's St. Augustine?
Everything we hear down there, it's going very well. The governor felt obliged, even after he'd moved his own troops in, to push and press the county sheriff.
Wait just a second. Somebody's buzzing me. Just a second. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Governor Bryant's said he was going to maintain law and order. He wasn't certain he was happy the way that the county was doing it, and so he's put some of his special people right into the county machinery. It sounds like a peculiar arrangement, but just further evidence of his intense desire to control the situation, and it is under control. I've had no definite reports about negotiations, but all of the indicators are that it's possible they're going to reach an accord on the, I don't want to say demands, but the request or the grievances of the Negro community. So that at the moment it seems to be perfectly in control.
Is King satisfied with our reply and our talking to the governor? His man, I notice, is over talking to, raising hell over with Burke Marshall.
On Saturday, at your request, or your suggestion, I called Wyatt Walker, returned that call to his.
Yeah.
And he said two things. One, that they had to admit that the law enforcement was perfect. They had absolutely no complaints on that score, that the governor had indeed brought the situation into perfect control. And I don't know if the word was grateful, but certainly there was no complaint. Secondly, with regard to the...
They were aware that we talked to him, weren't they?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Fairly aware. I didn't want to maximize it, but he knew that we'd been involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second point he said was that he wanted to reiterate the point in King's telegrams that when you were there as vice president, you had agreed to see to it that the two communities had a dialogue going. And I said, well, on that point, I wasn't going to comment. I didn't know I hadn't discussed with you what conversations had taken place last year, but all I knew was we had pretty good reports, and it was my own personal view that the less we appeared to be trying to push any decision down there, the more likely they were to receive it.
Then on that other point, let's don't let him get out of line there. What they agreed to do, I accepted the meeting to go down there and speak. They came in and opposed my speaking. I asked them what they wanted me to do. They said they wanted it integrated, the meeting at a banquet meeting, and that they would like for the local official, mayor, whoever it was, to agree, or the local head of the commission, I've forgotten which, to agree that they would talk to them about how the future. So I talked to them, and they agreed to meet with them, which they did after my meeting. I don't know. They didn't agree to anything specific. I didn't propose anything specific. They did integrate the meeting. So they did the two things they agreed to do. They didn't agree to integrate the town or to change the thing or to any sweeping reform. They just agreed to let Negroes come for the first time to the hotel to eat at the dinner I spoke to, and that they would talk to them about what their demands were.
And both of those things took place.
Both those things took place.
Well, I would assume it's best to continue to ignore it and not get into a shouting match with them.
Yeah.
I'm glad to know that's the case, because those guys love to press and push beyond recognition. I talked to Senator Humphrey briefly, and he said that he hoped that there was no difficulty would arise from that, but he tried to explain exactly what happened was that he had made this for a local TV network in Minnesota, The two reporters that he had questioning him were from the Baltimore Sun and from the Washington Post. He assumed they were the only two papers that read it. He hadn't seen it in any other paper, including Minnesota. And he said that even there, in the Post story, there was some sort of a distortion of it, because he did not urge that a meeting be held by you, but suggested that he understood that this was under consideration by you, and he wasn't trying to be presumptuous, and said he would send over the transcript, which would make that clear.
We'll get it, and let's look at it and see what we do about it.
And he said he was sure that this sort of thing was really only two papers that carried it, were the two reporters who interviewed
him. Well, I don't think so. I saw it in a bunch of papers the next morning. But AP picked it up and carried it, but
I think Senator Johnson may have fanned it a little bit yesterday. But
making this, whether it's one or 100, he ought to be telling me what to do through the goddamn local network out in Minnesota or here.
Well, in his, the way he puts it, he wasn't telling you, and when the transcript comes over, we'll have a little better idea of whether he did get treated unfairly by the paper. And he said he would send that over today. Okay, sir.
Now, what are we going to do about this meeting?
I'm kind of waiting to hear from the Justice Department now in terms of whether they want to make it theirs or propose some alternative way of doing it. But as far as everybody is concerned, regardless of this Humphrey business, some series of meetings, even if they don't start for a week or 10 days, would be extremely useful.
What do you think we ought to do about the signing ceremony if we ever get to that point? Do you think we ought to have a statement, or do you think we ought to quietly sign it? Do you think we ought to have a big hullabaloo about it, or what?
I'd say, Mr. President, it's so monumental, it's equivalent to signing an Emancipation Proclamation, and it ought to just have all of the possible attention that you could focus on it. It's so significant in terms of now you've got the legislative branch joining the judicial and the executive, people who are elected in every corner of the country, with people who are appointed and people who serve for life.